Our scripture today comes from the 30th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And before we read, I'm going to invite you to bow again for a time of quiet and then a prayer for illumination. Spirit of the living God, free our minds from error, teach our hearts the living words of Jesus, and inspire our lips to share the good news. And may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Listen now, hear the word as it comes to us from Deuteronomy 30, verses 11 to 20. Moses is speaking, and he says to the people of Israel, "Surely this commandment that I'm commanding you today is not too hard for you." That's good news. "Nor is it too far away. It's not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?' No," he says, "the word is very near to you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart for you to observe." I'll just say it doesn't get much closer than that. "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess." And that's the promised land that they've been working towards nearly 40 years. "But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying God, and holding fast to God. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. The scripture passages we've been looking at over the last month and a half have dealt with the call of God in one way or another, and today's no different. We've experienced texts that had us seeing fishermen called to God, tax collectors, agitators, and others who experienced a miracle set out in their lives, calling them to leave behind the familiar and to follow God and to lead and to serve with God. Today we find Moses, and he's addressing the people of Israel. He has come a long way from his humble and threatened birth. When his mother birthed him and had that mother's genius plan to save his life because Pharaoh was out to kill all Hebrew babies, she made him a floating baby basket, and she floated it where Pharaoh's daughter took her morning bath. And Pharaoh's daughter found the weeping child and took pity on him, took him into her home and into her heart, and raised him as an Egyptian. So he had grown up with Egyptian privilege. He had come to have all the benefits of the royal family, but he also got to witness the unfair treatment of his own Hebrew people who were slaves in Egypt. And this ultimately led him one day to kill an Egyptian taskmaster who was abusing one of the Hebrew slaves. And once he had killed the man, he realized he couldn't hang around, for he would be exposed and he would lose his life. So he fled. He fled to the outback of Midian. And there, as a murderer, fugitive, while tending sheep for a man who would soon be his father-in-law, a priest in Midian, Moses' life was forever changed. And it was changed by a very unusual call from God. Now that story is way back in Exodus 3. We know he had that burning bush experience. And now he's come a long, long way from that burning bush encounter near Mount Horeb, where he first heard God say, "Come near, take off your sandals, you're standing on holy ground." And he said, "Moses, I have a job for you to do." And Moses tried his best to talk God out of it. And he asked, "Who are you? Who will I say is the one who's sending me?" And the only answer he got was, "I am. I am who I am." In other words, he's the essence of being. And from the start of that conversation, Moses was hesitant. He kept lifting up his human frailty. We believe maybe he had a speech impediment because he kept saying, "I'm not able to go and speak those words. Not me, Lord. I'm no speaker. I'm no leader. Surely you've got the wrong person." But God's call was clear and persistent, and the promises were clear as well, that God needed Moses, God had a plan for Moses, and God promised to bless Moses and the people of God because he was going to deliver them out of the captivity in Egypt, and he was going to lead them to a promised land full of milk and honey. That sounded wonderful. And from that day forward, time and again, Moses witnessed God's protective hand, guiding them out of Egypt against all odds, through the waters of the Red Sea, into the wilderness, and day by day through all of their various challenges and threats as they wandered there, learning more and more how to trust God. Trial by trial, God shaped Moses as a leader. He had to be tough because he had whining people following behind him that could find fault with every day and everything that was happening. But God showed him over and over through mighty acts of grace and mercy. When the people were thirsty and crying out, God brought water from a rock. When they were saying that they were short on food and they needed some meat, then God provided them manna from heaven. God also gave Moses the law inscribed on two tablets. We call them the Ten Commandments. And he said, "This is what's going to help organize my people and help them become a covenant people. It's going to help them live a good and pleasing life in relation with each other and in relationship with God. It would keep them on track. It would help direct them more straightly towards the promised land and the new life that God had for them." Sadly, our ancestors were much like us, prone to wander. So they did wander from God's path and God's law, and they resisted Moses' leadership. They cried to go back to their old life and their bondage in Egypt because there they never lacked for good food, even though they were slaves. So they broke the law. They made for themselves idols and they worshiped them instead of God. And they whined and moaned for something more. And God led the children of Israel. Day by day, it was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire in the nighttime. And when they had fallen into sin and snakes came among them and bit them and they were dying, they cried out for help. And once again, God provided a cure and spared their lives. Sinfulness, stubbornness, disobedience, being increasingly stiff-necked, this was more than arthritis. It was a spiritual stiff-neckedness, and it prolonged their journey longer than it needed to be. The distance from from where they were to where the promised land was did not require 40 years walking to get there. But because of their sinfulness, they wound up on a very circuitous route that took them far away from their destination. So now they've come to the edge of crossing over into the promised land. And that's where we pick up today with Moses' words. He's preparing the Israelites for that time of crossing over and inheriting the promised land that God has had before them all this time. And his time of leadership is drawing to a close. And sadly, because he failed to trust God at one key point along the way, God has made him aware, you will not be crossing over. So his journey's ending on this side of the promised land. He's preparing them for passing the leadership torch to another. And so he's had a long time with these people. His life and his leadership and his mission were ending, but his journey with God, the great I am who I am, would be ongoing. So we hear Moses, this longtime leader, he's offering a charge to the people. He's calling them to really weigh out in the balance of their hearts and lives what they're going to do. Are they going to obediently follow God or not? Now it's important for us to notice Moses' words do not focus on self-reliance. He doesn't say, you've got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get ready for the journey ahead. Nor does he call on them for collective power, saying, you've got to be better at working together, or you need to be brighter and smarter. It doesn't go in that direction. Instead, Moses' final words charge the people to do nothing more or less than choose life. Life with God. Now, Deuteronomy is the last book of the Torah. The first five books of the Old Testament are for the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, their Torah. It's often referred to as the Pentateuch, and that just is derived from the word for five. But it's interesting to note that in Deuteronomy, it's the first book in those five books where we hear speaking of a loving God, and a God who invites our love in return, a God who makes promises, and a God who fulfills promises. Moses is preparing the people for his dying and leaving. He's preparing them for their moving on into the life that they're about to inherit. And he's looking back over their long shared journey, and as he reflects on all the times that they've shared, the good, the bad, the happy, the sad, the ugly, the sinful times, he is distilling a lifetime of faith development into these parting words that he offers to God's people. And Moses says to them, choose life with God so that you may live loving God, obeying God, holding fast to God. This is the life that God has chosen you for. But will you, in turn, choose that life for yourself? Knowing their humanity, he knows that God's going to give them a choice. It is up to them to respond to God's outreach of goodness and grace and to choose life with God, to decide in their hearts and minds that they're going to share life fully with God, the life that God's been leading them toward, calling them into. God wants them to stand out from among all the people that are around them as a holy people, as a nation among all the nations, a nation that stands up for God, and to live out God's love as a witness to all these surrounding peoples. So choosing life with God, choosing obedience to God, choosing to follow God, meant choosing to love first and foremost, because God is a God of love. So they're called to love, for the Lord is a Lord of love, to love for life, to love each other, to love creation. God is giving them care and upkeep responsibilities. And in verse 19, Moses says this, here's my witness. I'm going to call heaven and earth as the witnesses about what we're doing today. whether you choose life or death, or blessings or curses, heaven and earth are watching. The witnesses are called to formalize this covenant. Heaven and earth, it makes the requirement of love about as widespread as you can go. If you've got everybody, the forces of earth and the forces of heaven, with their eyes on you as you're making your choice. And for the people of Israel, to choose life was not just about choosing, but also about acknowledging with loyalty, obedience, and love their chosenness by God. Because our choice is always a reaction to God's first choice. God acts for us on our behalf. And God's action for us empowers and awakens us to the point where we can respond with a choice. So their chosenness of God had less to do with any of their good behavior or their worthiness or any of their actions. It had everything to do, however, with God, God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, God's commitment to these people, to be His chosen people. Almighty God chose to enter into a relationship with Israel, and through Jesus Christ, He's also chosen to enter into a relationship with us. And God is eyes open, knowing exactly who we are, all of our sinfulness, all of our brokenness, all of our personal limitations. And yet God says, yes, I know exactly who you are, and I'm calling you to be you fully for me. So we're called to live into that. And you say, why would God do something like that? And the only answer I have is God's amazing, steadfast love, grace, and mercy. We're called to live God's love, to share God's love. It's the value system we've been born into and drawn into by God choosing us and inviting us in turn to choose to say yes. We're called to live into that. That's our choice. That's how we choose life. Now, we live in a consumer culture that would say to us every day through commercials and branding and so forth that our identity is not based so much on our choice with God as our choice of the brands that we wear, the brands that we buy, the cars that we drive, the homes and neighborhoods where we live. But the Bible says a different story, that our identity is not found primarily in our choices for those secular things, those things of this world, but it's by our chosenness by God, that we were special before we ever responded because God's grace was active in us, enabling us to say yes to God's goodness. And because we have been chosen, we can be secure in who we are. We don't have to run the rat race. We don't have to compete with our neighbors for the best and the brightest and the fastest and the newest thing, whatever it is. Because of God and realizing that God made us, each and every one, unique, we realize who we are because of we understanding whose we are. We realize we belong to God. And it's out of that understanding that we're motivated to say, why would I choose any other way than to choose life with God? Friends, as your chosen leader, your pastor, I'm humbled and deeply grateful for all the many blessings that I continue to witness and share with you in our times of mission and ministry together. You amaze me in your involvement in this church and in the community. I'm deeply grateful for being chosen and called by God and chosen and called by you and confirmed by the Presbytery of New Harmony to enter into this ministry to serve with you and to share in the unfolding faith story of Celebration Presbyterian Church here in Carolina Forest. I realized God had a plan, but I had a choice. God said, what do you want to do? I asked for specifics, and God said, I am. Same answer that bush gave Moses all those years ago. The only answer I got was, I am. But thanks be to God, the motivating grace and love nudged me to say, sure, let's do this thing. Let's give it a try. Will you stand now for the charge and the benediction and our closing hymn? Friends, though we still wander and struggle at times like the people of Israel did before us, know this, God is not finished with us yet. God has more in store for each of us and all of us collectively. More life, more love, more opportunity to serve God in this community. So with Moses, I charge us to choose life each day. Life lived day by day with God. Life lived in honoring God's commandments. Life lived graciously and faithfully in partnership with God. Life lived here in community with brothers and sisters who are also serving. Life that is livable and sustainable in and through God alone. We realize we can't do this apart from God. Now go forth into the world with compassion and justice in your heart. Give voice to the silent and strength to the weak. Hear one another, see one another, care for one another, and love one another. It's all that easy, and it's all that hard. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. And all God's people say, amen.